So, all right. So Exodus 14, come with me for all those people that are giving to our story, our future and our building fund. Thank you. And we are on it. And so Exodus chapter 14, I'm talking about the significance of crossing over. And Claire actually said, is that like... Are we cross-dressing? What's going on? And all those people that thought that way, you naughty people. But the truth is, I'm talking about Moses crossing over the Red Sea, okay? But I wanted to just give a catchy title, The Significance of Crossing Over. The Significance of Crossing Over. So come with me to Exodus 14. We're going to read a few verses. Let's start with Exodus 14, verse 5. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart... Okay, so just so we've got this, the people have fled. They've actually... This is the Exodus. They've started their journey out of Egypt. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Now, in context, just let me say here, what have we done to let Israel, all of us, go from us? I'll get there on that a little bit more as we go along. Now, come with me to verse 6. So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Come over to verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, so they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, who knows that the leader always cops it? That was just a side issue. Anyway, then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. All right, so this is the climax of the Exodus. As we have seen from the other Bible heroes, we see here also that Moses is clearly a type of Messiah. In fact, he's a mediator for the people. And in Exodus 14, verse 13, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Turn to your neighbor and say, do not be afraid. Where was I? Do not be afraid. Verse 13, stand still. What does that mean? It means be calm, right? Okay. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. I love the wording. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Moses is standing in the gap for his people. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 15, on the reference to Jesus, I called my son out of Egypt. Matthew is quoting Hosea 11, verse 1. I called my son out of Egypt, referring to Israel. I called you out from that place to this place. You were over here, and I wanted to bring you out to here, into a better land, into a far more fruitful land, into a place where there was... We're going to look at all this. And so this morning, here's the point. Jesus' work and the Old Testament Red Sea crossing have a direct correlation. In Luke chapter 9, Moses and Elijah appear and talk with Jesus about his death or his exodus as he goes back to heaven. And so, if you like, Jesus went from the depths of hell on the cross to the glory of heaven. In Hebrews 3 and 4, Jesus points to Moses as being faithful to God. Is anyone here faithful to God? Anyone here wanting to be faithful to God today? And so we may not all the time think that we're on the right track, but I want to talk about that a little bit this morning as well. And in leading God's entire house into freedom, this is what happened. And with Moses, and the author of Hebrews makes this point. Jesus, God's son, was in charge of the entire house. It's even mentioned in this scripture. In Hebrews 11, 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so were drowned. And here is the difference between Christian faith and other religion. It's instantaneous. You can't earn your way into heaven. Gee, it's gone quiet in here. In 1 Corinthians 10 verse 2, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. So our faith, our hope, and our love are in the one who has given us our freedom. Our spiritual awakening is through Christ, our rock. The same one who was following the Israelites is our rock too. There's a correlation from the Old Testament right through the New Testament of, and it's even mentioned in the Bible multiple times that Jesus was there with the Israelites. Jesus is here with us today. He's our rock. He's our fortress. He's our deliverer. He's the one that is doing all these works for us. He wants us to cross over and stay over, and we're going to talk about this today. See, these examples in the Bible are written for us as a pattern for our own salvation. And the Exodus story shows how God wants us to cross over, how to cross over, and why we can cross over and stay over. So firstly, God wants us to cross over. In Exodus 14, verse 5, let's go back there again. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. So in other words, we have lost the Israelites as slaves. We have lost their services. The Egyptians had lost their entire slave labor force. So we're going to go and get them back. And if we can't get them back, we're going to kill them. They let them go and then they didn't. They let them go and then they said, "Yes, you can go," and then they changed their mind. So first, the Israelites would have heard the rumble of chariots. Can you imagine this scene? They're at the entrance to the Red Sea, and there's all of Pharaoh's chariots, and there would have been a rumbling. There would have been this roar, because they're basically coming to get all their slaves back, because now they've realized that they have to actually do some work for themselves and they don't like that at all. And so the people, they would have seen their old slave masters coming. And this is why they say, because there were no graves in Egypt, who were they talking to? To Moses. Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? And they say to Moses in verse 12, "Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'?" Let me ask you a question. Is that what they really said? If you go back to Exodus 4 and verse 29, this is what they said. "Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together." This is they're talking about whether they're going to actually go and see Pharaoh. just to give a bit of context, and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their what? Looked on their? Then they bowed their heads and worshipped. Does that sound like we told you we're better off staying with the Egyptians? No, nothing like it. Yeah, we're going to believe God. Yeah, we've heard from Moses. Moses has been up the mountain. We're following Moses. The people believed and they worshipped, it says in Exodus 4. So, it was then after Moses and Aaron had the people's consent in Exodus 4 that they went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." This is the heart of the Bible. The word redemption means to loose. Redemption means what? To loose. God's intention is always to release people from bondage. The Exodus story is one of salvation. And the faith of Moses leads the people into salvation. They are released from their oppressors. Oh, this is just starting to get really juicy. You see, here's the thing. The Israelites are freed. They were let go. The official word came to them, "Get out." And then the slave master himself, Pharaoh, says, "We want you back." So let me ask you a question. How many times have you thought you were free from that thing, that sin, only to find yourself back there again? You and I have a tendency to go back. We all do this. It's not like someone's more got it more together. We all tend to go back. Now, this is a really interesting point. And when we go back, we are, as the Apostle Paul says, we are doing dead works. Who knows that when you go back, you feel really bad? Why did I do that? We are no longer living in the promised land when we go back, are we? Not on that thing anyway. Because we've crossed back. And the Bible is clear that part of our ongoing salvation is our ongoing repentance from dead works. Hebrews 6:1, "Let us go on to perfection." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Perfection?" Like, ask a question, "Perfection? Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." See, once saved, always saved is not scriptural. Look at me. Once saved, always saved is not scriptural. Once saved, always saved is not scriptural. Oh, it's gone awfully quiet in here. I want to talk about the significance of crossing over. Can we get there together this morning? You see, let us go on to perfection. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, well, I know I'm not perfect. Bremer might be, but I'm certainly nowhere near Bremer. I've got a long way to go, and my wife reminds me of it quite regularly. You know what perfection means? In this and throughout the Old New Testament, and Paul uses it a lot, you have the capacity to repair and adjust. Repair and? Repair and? I have learned a lot about this in the last 12 months. I've had one relationship in particular that was very close to me, and that relationship, there was some things that went down, and I was caught up in it. And I was accused of things that I thought I hadn't done. Does anyone know what I'm talking about here? You've all been in relational situations, you know, and it was actually quite a very, it was actually a very difficult time for me. I was grieving about it. And it got to a point where I actually was with the, just, you know, talking to the Lord. We need to do that. We actually need to spend time with God so that we know what to do so that we don't get ugly on the inside. We actually need to read our word and find things that will help that particular issue that you're dealing with so that you can repair yourself first so that you're not going to be ugly for others. And this sometimes takes time. This sometimes takes process. It certainly did with me. This is quite a close relationship, and I ended up, you know, I've go, Lord, okay, I'm going to have to adjust. I'd done everything I could to repair the relationship from a physical point of view, from a going to see the person, the whole lot. Now it's in your hands, Lord. But I have to still adjust and go, well, I because who knows that when something goes really bad in a relationship, it's easy to get bitter. And I didn't want to get bitter because I want to actually cross over and be in the promised land. I don't want to go back in a darkness and start thinking about the dark and evil things and what I would like to do. And so we need the power of crossing over in our lives through who God is in our life and what He has done for us and that He has set us free and we've crossed over. We shouldn't be keep continually crossing back. Now, we will struggle from time to time. I want to talk about this a little bit. As long as we ourselves are right with Jesus, I think that's really important. Who'd like to be right with Jesus? And so there's a quote from William G.T. Shedd, an American theologian in the 1800s, and it's talking about sin. Sin is the suicidal action of the human will against itself. Sin is the suicidal action of the human will against itself. So what he's saying is when you and I do a sin, small or great, it is much easier to do that sin again, right? And much harder to avoid it or resist it. So when you give your life to Christ, you're immediately an angel. Not true, right? Is that you're not immediately an angel? Who knows that there's stuff that you're still working on? But who knows that you're in the right camp, but you're still working on stuff. And so let me continue here. When you're baptized, and in fact, this is a really, this kind of works. We had baptism not that long ago, and you know, it's, the Red Sea is like a baptism. They go from death to life. They go from oppression to health. They go from negativity to positivity. They go from all the dastardly works that we can do into the promised land through faith. And so when we go through the waters of baptism, are we immediately just like Jesus? We wish. And so our life is a journey of faith toward God. And as our relationship with Christ increases, as we get older in Him, we should become less entangled. Even if we only move a little bit because of our faith, who knows which camp, whose camp are we still in? We're still in the right camp. We've got to get there. You see, Paul talks about this, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Say it with me. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Who knows, there's some really important points in there. Do not walk according to the, but according to the? Okay, so if you want to have no condemnation, what do we got to do? Walk in the Spirit. Okay, so Paul is writing this. Now, Christ, who knew no sin, legally took on all sin for us, so that we who believe in him are legally made the righteousness of God. God is not bothered. That was the theological. Now it's my turn. God is not bothered by the sin. He sent Jesus to take it all. The blood of Jesus cleanses all. Don't stay in elementary school. Rather, cross over, give that thing to him, and allow the blood of Jesus to do his work on you, and know that you are not condemned. You're living in a newness of the Holy Spirit on your life. You see, it's not just a legal arrangement. It's a union in life, that through the indwelling of Christ's Spirit, we have one life with him. One life with him. And so Romans 7:25, if we flip back just to the next verse, with the mind, this is Paul speaking, I myself serve the law of God. I just want to stop there. With the mind, I myself serve the law of God. The word of God is a light unto your path. The word of God breaks us free from the depravity of sin, and we therefore have no condemnation in Christ Jesus, because his Spirit is alive in us, because we're doing what we can to live according to the word of God. So we were here, and I know I shouldn't be doing that, and I'm trying, but I've only got to here. But guess what? You're still saved. The Red Sea. This is an amazing, amazing illustration. Yes, we are saved by grace. First and foremost, God rescues us. Isn't this a great picture the Red Sea gives us? First and foremost, God rescues. God's rescued me. Is anyone glad about that? There is nothing the Israelites could do to save themselves. There is nothing we can do to save ourselves. It is what Jesus has done for us. Oh, some of you are getting this. There's nothing we can do in ourselves. It's what Christ has done for us on the cross. He set us free. He took our pain. He took our sin. We're totally delivered. It's the grace of God. Now, second, God brings, now this is true in the Exodus as well. Second, after they get through the Exodus, all right, we'll get to this, God brings his word, the law, to the people through Moses, so that they may live out their days by placing their faith in him through his word. All. You see, we behave in certain ways because we are incredibly grateful for what he has done. Is anyone grateful for what Christ has done in your life this morning? Is anyone like, you know what? No matter how sinful I am, no matter if I keep getting it wrong, I know that I'm saved and I'm full of the grace of God on my life, and I'm wanting to obey the word of God, and so I'm moving closer towards the promised land every day of my life. It's great news. You see, when we go from this position, because we're incredibly grateful, and some people don't get this real quick. Let me ask you again, who's incredibly grateful for what Christ has done for you? Yeah. Okay. From this position, his word means everything. Pharaoh says, serve me or die. They got free, but they wanted to go back. Why? Children come along, too hard to go to church. A relationship with a non-believer. God wouldn't want me to be unhappy. But you may end up that way. Short-term pleasure ends up in a long-term problem. What about your career? I'm somebody now because I'm the boss man of two locations. Do you see what is happening? I'm valued because I'm the worship leader. I'm valued because I'm good at football. I'm valued because I can really teach the Bible well. All good things. And the truth is, slavishness has us a little. You know you should be free, but you still struggle. Everyone does. Redemption is all of, this is what we're talking about here, the redemption of the Lord. See, Moses leading the people out of the Red Sea is first and foremost about getting out of bondage. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've got out. I'm not going back. All right, so how do we cross over? I've talked about this a little bit already, so we'll move through this quickly. Verse 14, 13, and Moses said to the, chapter 14, 13, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. And verse 14, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. In other words, you can't do it. You can't contribute. You can't help. Be still. What does be still mean? It means nothing you can do. It means be still. Exactly. It means don't even need to talk. God's got this. Don't look at your works. Come on. Come on. Don't look at your. Look at what Christ has done. The principle of grace happens by crossing over. The Israelites are between freedom and oppression, and the Egyptians cry out, let's get them. Moses leads them valiantly through. Now, the Egyptians tried to cross over, but invisible warriors took them out. Their wheels are falling off their chariots. Their horses are suddenly falling in ditches. The Israelites were no longer under condemnation. The Israelites were no longer under a sentence of death because they had crossed over. And I want to ask you a really important question. Have you crossed over? Every other religion is like building a bridge. When some of you would have seen this, so I'm sure we all have a picture when I explain it. You've got a pylons that go out across a huge stretch of water, and there's one pylon, another pylon, another pylon, you never actually seem to quite get there. With Christianity, one minute you are not, the next you are. One minute you're not, the next you. You are either or, regenerated or not, freed or not, saved or not, forgiven or not, transformed or not. John 5:24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word, who hears God's word here this morning? He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into... Thank you, Lord. Come on, give him a bit of a hand right there. Death to life, boom. Right? So are you a Christian? Well, I'm trying to be one. No, that's not the right answer. Are you a Christian? Yeah. Are you a Christian? Yeah. Do you have to struggle? Yeah, you may do, but are you a Christian? Yeah. Yes. Okay. Who's learned something this morning? Oh, but I did something, you know. I hear this quite a bit. I'm a pastor. Well, you know, I did something I wish I did, shouldn't have done, you know. I smacked the kids too hard. I yelled at my son. Well, I do that too, you know. I'd like to say, well, welcome to the club. I swore. I didn't want to, but I just lost it. All you got to do is say, Lord, every morning when you get up, forgive me for my behaviour. Lord, forgive me for what I've done wrong this past day and the things I wish I shouldn't have said, but I said, and then move on. There is no condemnation. And so, Paul talks about this. So the children of Israel, Exodus 14:23, went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them in the midst of the sea. And my guess is this. Some would have been pretty ecstatic, and others would have gone, we're going to die. I'm going to die. The shark's going to get me. Oh, I'm going to die. Others are just like surfing the walls on the sides. They're just like, woohoo! Isn't God good? It doesn't matter what camp you belong to, you are set free. And so thirdly, why is it possible for us to cross over and stay over? See, the Israelites went through and were fine. And the Egyptians went through and were devastated. Why did the Israelites get out? Water is significant throughout the Bible. And in this case, floodwaters came over the Egyptians. Now, if we go back to the beginning of the Bible, there was water, God created water, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the Israelites, bringing order, if you like, out of chaos. What happened between the water in Genesis? There was land that was formed, and with that land, there came order. There came, well, instead of drowning, you've actually got somewhere to walk. Okay, so God brought the flood to the earth because he was sorry. The Bible says this, that he'd made us. He was grieved by their evil. However, Noah found grace in the eyes of God and he walked with God. See, God did a decreation through the flood. Why? If you turn away from the Creator, you also turn away from what he has created. And chaos is unleashed. You have turned away from the goodness of creation through dishonoring God and his word. Have you ever noticed that when you sin, others are affected and it's never pleasant? So why did the Israelites cross over? They had a mediator. The Lord will fight for you, Moses says. One man who is so identified with the Israelites that their guilt is upon him. And God directs Moses to move them into the sea. Moses is so identified with God, God's power is coming through him. Who'd like to be so identified with God that God's power is coming through you? Because that's what Christ has done for you on the cross. He's taken the sin, and the sooner we get out of the mindset that there's condemnation, that we have to do this, this, and this. No, that's religion. Kick it. And let's move into the grace of God. And second, yes, there's got to be repentance. And we need to do that every day. Lord, forgive me. And Moses is a vehicle for God's saving power. The music team could come. We have a mediator who is fully God and fully man. His name is? One who was not rebuked like Moses was. Jesus is on the cross. There was darkness. He took on the plagues. He took it all on himself. He took on the wrath. And Jesus was being decreated so you and I could be recreated. And what the floodwaters point to, what the chaos on earth points to, who knows there's a bit of chaos on earth? Just a little. Who knows that people do dumb things? Oh, but by the grace of God, amen? So Jesus received it all. He's the ultimate mediator. So let me ask you a very important question. Where were the children of Israel going? They were going to Mount Sinai. He brought them out and then he gave them the law. He brought them out and then he gave them. Because I have been saved by his grace, now I am going to obey God. Why don't we stand to our feet, church? I would like to give an opportunity for people to get right with God this morning. And there's a couple of categories. One of those categories is if you struggle with condemnation, I'd like to pray with you. But if you know that you should have crossed over, but actually, there's too many dead works. We're going to pray a prayer in a moment and allow. And this should not be out of duty or a religious thing, because who knows that there's nothing that you can do. So don't look at yourself in this. God's done it all. But there's an opportunity here that we are crossing over, we are free, we are delivered, we are set free to live out our life. And because we understand the what Christ has done for us and the gratitude that we have, oh, we want to be holy. We want to obey God's word. We want to do the right thing by God. He's given us the whole deal through his Bible. And all he asks is, hey, will you be grateful? Repent. And start living the way that I would like you to live. And see the goodness of God in your life and be like Paul. He was a murderer, but he was able to say there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I'm set free. Can we pray this prayer together? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me. You took it all on the cross. I'm crossing over today. I'm living in freedom. I want to be set free. I want to receive your spirit on my life. I don't want to live in the past. I don't want to keep crossing back. I want to live in the promised land. Amen. You prayed that prayer with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you really mean it? You want to live in the promised land? Just raise your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Would you mind just filing to the front, those people that put up your hand? We're going to close the service with a song, but please just come. Let's make this today. It's a new day. Please just start coming out of your seats. Please come. Please come. What about if you know that you're a Christian, but you're too much going back? You're too much going back. And there's things that just need, all you got to do is bring them into the light. Just bring them into the light. The longer you stay in the dark, you can't get free. If that's you, why don't you come too? We're going to pray for these people. We're going to sing a song. We're going to finish the service. These guys can come. Please come and lead us, Prudence. Great job this morning. I want to pray for these wonderful people that have said, you know what? I want to live in freedom. Is that okay? So we're going to stay. Please stay if you want to worship God. I know it's past, just past half past, just after, a couple of minutes after. So if you have to go, I understand. Thanks, Steve.